Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family.
I think if there's anything I want people listening to understand is there's so much grace in parenting. I think we can be in this real fearful place of trying to avoid harming our children as we parent them.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to
Between Sundays with
the Chandlers. Bam.
The last one we did, I felt like, you know that Saturday Night Live clip where it's they're sitting at the desk and it's the guy and the girl and they're like, we have this new album out and it's these songs and they start singing the new songs together, but they don't really know the songs. Kristen Wiig.
I don't watch Saturday Night Live, babe. I pray and read my Bible. That's
Chris
normally
Andrew,
when I'm fasting.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Because oh, it was kind of production like, in on this?
With the Chandlers.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. That's funny.
Okay, sorry.
Okay,
anyway.
Well, here we go. You got one?
I got one.
Is this yours or did you make this one up?
This one came from a listener,
what?
Max.
Come on, Max.
So, you know, President Trump,
this isn't political, babe.
It's slightly political.
Okay.
You know, he's given a lot of, made lots of declarations lately, lots of things he's done. Well, did you hear about how he outlawed shredded cheese? Do you know why? Do you know the heart behind
this.
It? He wants to make America great again. GRATE.
That might be a perfect joke for where we're headed today.
So Max wrote that one himself.
Okay, so that's not like you didn't get that off dad jokes on Instagram.
And
this is...
Max is probably in middle school, early high school.
Starting to make sense now.
I know.
That's clever for a middle school
kid.
I'm
really proud of Max.
I'm giving Max a shout out. Should we say his last? No, let's not say his last name. Yeah.
Max.
We won't do that. Max.
Way to go, Max.
How many Maxes are out there? Hopefully,
you
deduction.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
He knows his joke.
He does. Okay. So it feels like we're about to tread on, it's not dangerous.
It's
but
sensitive.
Sensitive ground.
Sensitive ground.
Yeah. What we posted, I posted on my stories and I don't, Lauren, did
I
you?
I reposted or collaborated.
Collabed.
Collabed.
So hip. Just saying, hey, Lauren and I would love to just talk about parenting and the highs and lows and how we've tried to do it and where we think we failed and what we thought we got well. And what's fun is, I think that's the right word. One, there's no way we're going to be able to get to all of them. There's like 250 of them.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
Which says something. And I can identify with it. I think if there's anything I want people listening to understand is there's so much grace in parenting. I think we feel all this pressure of you've got to get it right and you're going to, especially now where everybody has a counselor, you know, and they're working through their childhood trauma and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing to my kids now? And I think we can be in this real fearful place of trying to avoid harming our children as we parent them.
Yeah.
And no one gets out free. There's no perfect parent.
Question, it's a statement, but I know it's a question. Number 47 just said, worried about doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think one thing I want to say before we really get into all the questions is I think the number one thing you can do for your kids as a parent is to love Jesus and take your walk seriously with him, and to tend to your own hurts, yeah, and your own struggles and the strongholds in your life, to take that seriously.
Yeah,
and
it's huge.
Gosh, if you can just aim for intimacy with Jesus, the other things will, it's not like they work themselves out, but you're starting from the best place possible. Yeah,
the right place.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, there's no pain like kid pain.
Yeah.
I just don't think I have experienced anything as primal.
Right.
And I say this frequently when we're on this thing, we've been through some stuff.
We have.
And I don't know anything that's been as painful, as challenging, and as hopeful.
Yeah.
As trying to raise kids in the fear of the mm-hmm. Lord. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So if that was you and you're afraid of doing something wrong, I would just want to, I don't know that it's going to bring you any peace, but you will.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. And, you won't be the only one that has.
There are no perfect parents, right, especially those that look like they're perfect parents. It's just not. That there are no perfect parents. We're all doing the same thing as best we can before the Lord, trying to pick up on best practices that work with our kids, because that matters.
It does.
Like, these are individual souls.
Yeah.
So I think there are principles per se,
right,
but not necessarily this works with every kid.
Yep.
And so a framework I would put on it is, I know Audrey, Reed, and Nora,
right,
as much as I can know them, right? I know that if I power up with Reed, he's going to match me.
Mm-hmm.
I know Audrey's really fast mm-hmm. in her thinking. Mm-hmm. I know Nora is probably a bit more tender.
Yeah.
And so all of those things I need to know so that I can parent them well.
Right.
And so I don't think principles change, but I think how those work themselves out probably does from kid to kid.
Yeah.
Like, if I think about how I might go after Audrey's heart, it looks a little bit different than how I go after Reed's. Certainly how I go after Nora's.
Yeah.
And so I don't, if you're a parent, you're like, oh, that sounds hopelessly complex. It's really not. It's just getting to know it. I think a sentence I heard years ago that I love is, love the kid you have, not the one you want.
Mm.
I thought that was powerful the first time I heard it. No. Love the kid I have, mm-hmm. not the one I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a powerful little sentence for me.
Yeah.
Anything else before we get started here?
No, I think parenting has been, a hard place, and not because of our kids, but because of my own stuff of wanting to do everything right and well. I mean, if you've listened to the podcast where I talk about perfectionism, parenting is not immune to that. So it is a tender place where I can feel shame in it. But the Lord has been so kind to deal with me in that.
Sustained our kids.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, the Lord did. He's protected them from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, So I guess my prayer as we talk about this is
a lot
just
of grace.
grace. And we don't have it figured out.
No.
And we are still in process.
Yeah, we're still parenting now.
We are still parenting.
Today. Earlier today, we were parenting.
We had a 23, 20, and 16-year-old.
Yep.
And so, just so much grace.
Wildly different in temperament and build, mm-hmm. for sure. Okay, so here's question one. These are in no specific order. How to discipline well versus when to show grace.
You take this one.
That's why I was like, why don't you hold the iPad so you can.
You can ask them and answer them.
Well, I don't. I think what they're. I don't. That's why this. I think this question's hard. I'm going to see discipline as grace.
Mm-hmm.
If by grace you mean not addressing something that needs to be addressed or absorbing something so you're not nitpicky.
Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying there. Yeah. I don't want to nitpick. I want to have some things that we value as a family that are tied to the scriptures, and then I want to put my weight on those. I don't want to put my weight on every little thing, right. especially if there are things that in time they're going to adopt simply because they live in our house. Mm-hmm. And so if I think about one of our kids, but before they moved out, was just super messy. And we'd get on to that kid for that, and we would, you know, make that kid clean up, and, you know, it wasn't like it was a free for all. But then after this kid moved out, they were a little bit more,
yeah,
they valued the order
in their own space.
Yeah. That they had grown up with, yeah. in our home, because you keep things very orderly here. And this kid wanted to make sure their home felt like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't gonna cash in a bunch of my chips, mm-hmm. on the bed being made, mm-hmm. every day, even though I know what Jordan Peterson says about the bed being made.
I love having the bed made.
Oh, I know you
made.
Do. Listen, I know that's a heart level value for you.
It is.
And that's why our bed's made,
yeah.
every day.
Every day.
Every day. All 32 pillows.
Do you think maybe they mean kind of, let's say, there was, you have an older kid, I don't know that, or maybe not an older kid, who really messed up. And it's like this opportunity of, do I like come down hard on them, or do I give them like, hey, this is a picture of grace. I could have done this, but I'm choosing to do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that does make sense.
What would you say to that?
Again, this is why I think this is going to be difficult today. Like, was their life in danger?
Right.
I would just have questions about the seriousness, mm-hmm. of the infraction, the, mm-hmm. seriousness of, I guess in this context, we're talking sin.
Yeah.
What's the seriousness of the sin?
Yeah.
Is it a 2? Is it a 9?
Yeah.
I think I'm more apt to show grace if we can learn in a way that's not dangerous for them physically or maybe even spiritually.
Yeah.
Versus, not to say that sin's not dangerous, even so. I have been repeatedly gracious, maybe to a fault at times, and wish I wouldn't have been so gracious later. Mm-hmm. Wish I would have been a little tighter.
Yeah.
So
when you say tighter, like having consequences.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe harder consequences than we were putting, mm-hmm. on them, or times where there appeared to be heartbreak over it, and a lot of tears, and a, yeah. lot of. That maybe was manipulation more than it was genuine repentance.
Mm, yeah.
It's not helpful if we're not honest, right?
Yeah.
And so then they received grace, but later it looked more like manipulation than it looked like genuine heartbreak, mm. over sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of me has always gone by feel for the kid, for what I know about where the kid is in that moment, mm-hmm. with the Lord, with us, what's going on in their world,
yeah.
what's a one-time mistake versus what's a pattern.
Right.
All these things go into the roux before I think you can answer this question.
Yeah.
I think a repeated pattern is something very different than a stumble.
Right.
And right. If I had longer to think about it, I wonder if I was more gracious to what appeared to be a stumble and more serious about discipline as it becomes pattern.
Right. That makes sense.
What about you? Anything you'd add there?
I agree. I think, yeah, just if it's a stumble where it's clear they really, they're almost disciplined, like, punishing themselves over it.
Yeah.
I want to be more gracious.
Yeah.
But if it's a pattern, it's gracious to put some boundaries around
That's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Public versus homeschool.
Oh man. We've kind of done both. We did like a part-time homeschool,
yeah.
but it was part-time.
Okay.
Because they're homeschool is great, and the homeschool we did was in a program. It was a classical program where basically I was given the curriculum and basically made sure that they did the homework. Wasn't great for our kids. I mean, it's a great school, but I think really just trying to keep in mind who your kid is, what your schools are like. Our youngest is in public school now. I think there are merits to both.
Yeah.
I think there are dangers to both. And I think you've got to know your kid, know the friends that they have, and know even just kind of what's being taught at the school, what kind of staff there is. Because in our public schools, for the most part, there's some really amazing godly people on staff at our schools. And knowing your kid, like, are they going to just believe everything, or are they going to be a little bit more skeptical or discerning
and
curious? Like, are they going to think for themselves, or are they going to, it's a matter of conscience is what I would say.
I think that's a decision you need to make for where you are, the context you're in. We are in a place where the public school system is not hostile towards Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids are not, they're seeing things at public school, but I would argue they saw some things at their Christian school
that
we didn't think were great as mom and dad. And so I think you've got to weigh that. And I'm not on either one of these, you know. I love Odie Bauckham, love him. His adage of, you know, you send your kids to Roman schools and then you're surprised when you get a Roman. I can't get there.
Yeah.
With no smoke to Chvodi. I understand in the context of his book what he was writing about. But we live in an area where, I mean, even a few years ago, they're still doing abstinence in middle school.
Yep.
And so we've made the decision to do, you know, part-time homeschool and public school. We've done both with all three of our kids. And I think we've seen both the benefit and the drawback of both.
Yeah.
And the idea that, like, there's no danger in homeschool or part-time Christian school, and there's all sorts of danger in public. It hasn't experientially been true for us, has it?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm. I mean, I would think with homeschool, you have a little bit more control
over
that. For sure,
if you're pure homeschool, you have tons of control.
Right. Which I think that question was. But also, I think homeschool has to do with, do they need some, like, hanging out with other kids? I don't know.
They do, like, co-ops and all those kinds of things now.
And then even just who's teaching and who's in charge of the curriculum? Is that something that you really love doing? Because it's, from what I can understand, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. One of the things I've wrestled with for years is that my life, by the grace of God, is played out in the suburbs of Dallas, a place I am safe. I have an abundance of food and shelter and opportunity. And that's always because of what I've been able to see around the world. Man, I've wrestled with it internally. Like, here I have this life of ease, and I just know that my brothers and sisters around the world, they are living a whole different reality than me. And that's why I've been super grateful to partner with GCR. Like, some of the hardest realities in the world right now are happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria. It's become the center of modern Christian martyrdom. There's more believers being killed there for their faith than anywhere else in the world right now. Since 2009, over 50,000 Christians have lost their lives, and more than 2 million have been displaced by extremist violence. And here's what I know. These aren't just stats. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our family. Many have had to flee their homes with nothing, and they arrive in these camps. And then once they get into the camps, there's all sorts of trauma, extreme poverty, and uncertainty. But in the middle of that suffering, I know the global church, you and me, we have an opportunity to step in and be the church. Through this work, these families, not just individuals, but families, They can receive immediate care. They can get food, clean water, shelter, and medical support. And over time, that can grow into education, job training, and sustainable income so they can rebuild their lives. And here's what I love about GCR. Like, it's tangible. This stuff is tangible. For $42 a month, you can support a whole displaced family. 76 can provide clean drinking water for up to 12 believers for an entire year. And 158 can equip a woman to start a business and provide for her family. When you give to Global Christian Relief, you're not just supporting a cause, you're actually standing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person who doesn't just hear about atrocities and heartbreak, but as best I can with the resources God's made available to me, I want to be able to respond. Let me encourage you to look at, consider, and give to Global Christian Relief for the good of our brothers and sisters globally. If you're walking through grief, anxiety, disappointment, or really even a season where life just feels heavier than you can bear, I want to tell you about a new book from my friend H.B. Charles. It's called Psalms of Trust, Living with Confidence in God at All Times. One of the things I love about the Psalms is they don't ignore our pain. They give us language for our sorrow and our questions while continually pointing us back to the faithfulness of God. In Psalms of Trust, H.B. Charles walks through 10 Psalms, some of my favorites, including Psalm 27, Psalm 42, Psalm 73, and Psalm 91, helping readers discover fresh confidence in God's character and care. This isn't positive thinking or wishful optimism. It's biblical trust, bringing your pain honestly before the Lord and learning to rest in His goodness. I want to encourage you to pick up your copy of Psalms of Trust wherever books are sold. How do we know the line between protecting our kids and overprotecting our kids?
Gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You take that one.
Okay. I mean, I can try. I can just talk about how we tried to do it.
Yeah, do it.
I think we wanted to protect our kids from some of the more predominant ideologies of our day that we thought were demonic, but didn't necessarily put the same, like our kids watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
We didn't think that was demonic or evil or...
Some people do.
Some people do. And I was just like, again, I only, the experientially and even in my understanding, that there's so much weight I can bring to bear until it breaks and I exacerbate my kids towards...
Mm-hmm. Exasperate
mm-hmm. our kids towards anger.
Yeah.
And so where can I build boundaries in pleasant places? And I'm not trying to be their buddy. I'm dad.
Right.
I'm not friend. Although there's some aspect of that as they've gotten older, for sure. Mm-hmm. But where can I place the boundaries that are protecting them from the predominant demonic ideologies of our day, but give them a little space to experience the world they're going to inhabit?
Right.
And so we made decisions kind of with that grid in mind. I think all parents, when all said and done, they're going to look back and they're going to regret being as tight or regret
right.
being as loose.
Right.
And if we'll have a regret, we were probably more loose mm-hmm. than we were tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we reaped some of that and we've yeah. seen some of the beauty in going about it that way.
Right.
And so I don't know that there's a line. I think there's a seeing your kid, seeing what they might be drawn to.
Yeah.
Building boundaries. And I'm not interested in fair. I'm interested in the soul that's in front of me.
Yeah.
And so there were differences in what we let one do over what we let another do. And we mm-hmm. had to hear about that. You know, we had to hear about how unfair that was. And we had to hear about it. But for me, it was never, there's not an, you know, standard operating procedure for each kid.
No.
There's a kid, who they are, what their bent is, and how do I protect them from that bent
right.
as best I can with the authority given to me by God.
Yeah. And I think the sober-mindedness of knowing you will not be able to protect him from everything.
Yeah.
And so the gap being prayer, like really committing to pray for your kids for protection when your protection is not enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of times overprotective parents can, I think they give themselves too much power than they actually have. And then the, I guess, less protective. I think there's, do not underestimate the power of prayer and what God can do to protect your kids, to rat them out when there are things that they're doing.
So true. Happens all the time.
You don't know, and yeah. You thought you protected them against, and you know. Yeah. I think also on the overprotective, a lot of times I'll hear, you know, helicopter mom versus, you know, what I'm talking about? So not fighting their battles for them.
For sure.
And letting them be vulnerable in places that are safe. So safe places to fail.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I love, we have a friend who's got a son. I forget what grade he's in, but she, when they were like first grade, I think she would make them go in and get their Chick-fil-A. They would order.
Let's go.
They would order their Chick-fil-A, go in, get it. And it was like in a safe environment. She was there. She could watch him and everything, but made him go get it. And I loved it because it gave him, he felt like he had, agency.
Yeah.
To, I can order and I can talk to an adult and I don't need mom to do this for me.
Yeah.
So overprotectiveness can even kind of go into that where you don't ever make your kid be in uncomfortable circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think I love that she did that. And we kind of did that.
I would they make, had to order.
They at, did.
They had to tell the waitress
even if
what
we're
they
standing
wanted.
In line.
That's right. Or,
like at Chick-fil-A, we would make each one order. And you know, that was not easy for me as a kid, but it wasn't easy for all of our kids, but they did it. And I think they're better for it. So, you know, not protecting them, giving them opportunity to kind of venture out in places that are safe.
Yeah. So. There was a lot of questions about kids with neurodivergent, ADHD, anxiety, those kinds of things.
Yes.
How have we navigated those spaces? Because we've had them.
We have. How have we navigated them, babe? You answer first and then I'll answer.
I know. If you're watching this, if you ever see Lauren and I in a Q&A together, I'm not like trying to be the one, but
I just don't always know what I think until like about 5 minutes in. I have to ruminate on it a bit.
So you want me to talk a little bit so you can either
you
agree or disagree? Okay, I'll do it. We've had really with all three of our children aspects of these at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I don't want to sound like a broken record. We handled each one of those a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
With Audrey, our oldest, it was way late in the game when we figured it out. And then once
she was our oldest, I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know what I didn't know. I just had Audrey.
Yeah.
And I wish someone had said, you might want to get her tested. And no one did until I figured it out.
Which is so shocking because everybody's tested these days.
Yes.
But that goes back maybe to us trying to build resilience and make them figure it out and be looser, if you will.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we finally figured out Odd's IQ was off the chart, but she really did struggle with attention.
Mm-hmm.
We just got her some help, man. We got her some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to help her without medication do things and see how far we could take it. And then finally got her some medicine. And then it was just like, not the kind of medicine that made her a zombie, but you could just see all of a sudden, like even some of those anxiety kicking up things start to vanish where, I am smart.
Right.
I'm not dumb. You know, she had just think, I'm just dumb. I just can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm working so hard and I'm not getting this. I'm forgetting this. This is a mess. This is, and then it was just like all of a sudden she saw herself a bit more clearly.
Yeah.
And that was really beautiful.
It was.
And then, Reed's been our one more on the anxiety front.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we've just tried to love him through that. And we got these, a thing that I thought helped get at his heart.
Yeah.
Was we've got these, what are they, heart cards or what are they called? What are they called?
Oh my gosh, or like emotional, I can't remember.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes.
But they're these pictures.
Yes.
And I would just put a bunch of pictures out, which is funny. We did it at dinner last night again with everybody. Or was it last night? 2 nights ago. They're just all these different images. And like, if I ask Reed, how are you doing? He's like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. So I put all those cards out and just like, hey, pick the one.
Yeah.
Pick the one that kind of resonates with what's going on inside of you. And then each of the kids could do that and then explain what was going on inside of them in a way that gave us access to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ways that we've tried. We've done everything from medicine to counseling to trying to build order. Like I'm always, because I'm a little bit neurodivergent. So what was that look?
Huh?
I saw it again.
So am I though.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, bless their hearts. Like I'm always trying to teach them how I've learned to operate where I can't think of something and go, I'll do that later. I won't. I have to get it on a calendar. I have to set a reminder. Right. I have to set. So I was just having this conversation with our youngest, you know, 2 weeks ago where I was like, hey, if you think I'm going to come back and do that later, you're not.
Right.
So just do it right then. Or since you've got your phone, just set a reminder in your phone because I can't either, babe. I'm already on to what's next. And I vaguely remember I had the thought to do that. And so that's some examples of like trying to help them work through it before you get to meds, before you, you know, go with something that's a little bit more, scary maybe.
Yeah.
Let's just see what we can figure out with life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the different ways we've tried to address that. Would you add anything to that?
No, that's good. I don't think so. I mean, I feel like there's stigma with medicine, but it does help some kids. And I understand why you might not want to do medicine.
Do you think overall we're over-medicated?
Yes.
That generation
is? I do think we probably are because trying to get medicine for my kids is really hard right now or for just one of them. But there is a stigma. I do think we're over-medicated. I don't know who's over-medicated. I don't know why we're over-medicated.
Yeah.
But sometimes medicine does work. I heard Dr. Amen say something where it's like a kid who's got visual impairment, we're not going to be like, well, you just need to figure it out. Like put systems in to be able to read that sign. You know, it was like, no, we give them glasses with the prescription. So I think there's some things that work and some that don't. There's actually an Amen clinic where you can get, it's kind of expensive, but I've considered it, where you get kind of
a brain
tailored
map kind of thing. And I wonder like some of the things I think you should try is I think if you've got a kid that's sedentary, 90% of the day,
you've got to get
a team sport in there or find a hobby that starts to activate their body.
Right.
And those are things I think that can be helpful. It's not a silver bullet, but I think a sedentary life leads to a lot more anxiety. And
for sure.
And then I think we could talk social media here too. If they're just like endlessly scrolling or endlessly going from video game dopamine hits to scrolling dopamine hits back to video game. And there's no physicality in their life. There's no outside in their life. I think it's proven that adds to the rue of all this. It adds to the mix and not in a good way.
Yeah.
And so to get outside, to climb a tree, to throw rocks into a pond or river or go for a run
Bored.
Yeah. To be bored, to embrace boredom is really good. We have a lot of questions about the sex talk with kids.
Oh yeah.
And I think we did pretty well at that.
I think we did.
I think we just brought it up early in age-appropriate ways.
Yes, we did. And I had it with the girls. You had it with Reed.
Yeah.
And I kind of started saying, this is kind of uncomfortable to talk about because It's a private thing.
Yeah.
It is private.
It's a great car conversation right. When you're both looking out the windshield.
Right. Like this is the most personal private thing you could possibly do, you know, and it's meant for one other person.
That's right.
And that's how God created it. So also, actually with our youngest, we have a resource at TVC.
That's right.
Called ID Retreat.
Yep.
Where it's this, they basically set up the whole conversation for you. You get away with your kid. So it was Nora.
Yep.
And I think in fifth grade.
Yep.
It was like in the fall of fifth grade. Fall or spring of fifth grade. We went away and we got to have fun. We got to play around in this little retreat center. And then they had basically a script for us to just talk through things, to answer questions, to let our kids answer questions, and just one-on-one time. So this wasn't in front of a lot of people. Anyway, I think that is one of the most helpful resources we have for our kids at TBC. And I think, do they offer that to...
I don't know if it's in the resource store or not.
Okay.
It should be.
It should be.
I think
it's
they were
so
working
good.
On... like making it pretty.
Yeah.
I've tried to say, I think people are so desperate for this. It doesn't need to be
it
that
doesn't.
Pretty, but that's me talking. I've got
I think
people
they have
that
two parts. There's like the fifth grade and then a seventh grade part where you're a little bit older. They're a little bit, they've been around people talking about stuff. They picked up on things. And so, honestly, revisiting this sex talk is not bad.
It wasn't a talk.
Yeah, no, it is. A continuous conversation.
And then even like one of the things I said specifically to Reed is I didn't want him to like hear some people joking about something and not know what it is. So go Google it.
Yep.
So I just was, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, like, hey, I know what these things are. So just come and ask me. Mm-hmm. I know it'd be awkward, but if you hear something, you're not sure what it was, just ask me and I'll find out for you mm-hmm. if I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a conversation with Reed. And then just as it's presented itself, even with our youngest lately, we talked about first kiss stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's an ongoing, you know, she's been to ID Retreat. You've had the conversation several times. I just brought up kissing again a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so it's an ongoing dialogue, not a one-off.
Yeah.
It's awkward for everybody, but necessary. Everyone else is going to be talking about it around them. So it'd be a good idea for you to aim young.
Yes.
And there are age appropriate, even books that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to put those in the show notes too, mm-hmm. that would be helpful mm-hmm. as you think about when and how to approach gender and sexuality with your kid.
I remember Audrey was a little younger than I'd planned. I think she was more like 9. I felt like it was more third or fourth grade because she was hanging out with older girls that were already like 11 and 12. And so I wanted to have that conversation before they started talking about it with her.
That's good. Hey, you're so much better at this than I am.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm not going to talk. I'm going to listen to you. Trust me when I say it, what are strategies for getting at the heart instead of surface behaviors?
I think I'm just naturally am very curious.
It's true.
And I want to know the why.
Yeah.
Because kids do dumb stuff.
Adults do dumb stuff.
We all do dumb stuff. And I just want to understand why. Because when I can understand why, we get to the root of it rather than just, well, what were you thinking? Well, a lot of times they don't know what they were thinking. And so trying to come up with questions that aren't, what were you thinking, which makes them feel dumb, but questions that get under the action. And I'm trying to think of questions that I would ask right now, and they're not coming to me. But being curious, I think getting to the heart would be being curious with them and really seeking to understand. And so maybe you do ask, what were you thinking? But not like, what were you thinking, you dummy? But hey, what was running through your mind? Were you scared? Were you angry? Were you sad? Like talking about those root emotions that that decision or that action came from.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think I've watched you do it. You're so much better than I am at it. I tend to just see the behavior. But yeah, you're so good. And oftentimes circling back around.
Yeah.
After I've been the heavy, if you will.
I know.
And but it's fine.
Thanks
I'm not
for being the heavy. Well, you're good. You're good at it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think being curious and then really studying your kid and really knowing your kid and paying attention and seeing what's like so that you're able to identify when something seems off. And when you can be like, you know what? They were just hungry.
Yeah.
They just needed to eat something. And that's why they acted like that. And I'm not going to take it personally. That can happen with our kids where maybe just the attitude's a little off. And it doesn't mean I allow them to mistreat us or disrespect us. But I'm going to be more understanding of, you know what? The girl just needs a chicken nugget.
Girl just needs some protein. She just needs some protein. Another question that's come, I mean, like I'll create a question based on maybe 10 or 15 of these. Do one it. I just saw that makes me giggle is who's more strict, you or me?
You.
That's probably true.
I think so.
I don't know.
Maybe we trade off.
I think when you want to be strict, you use me.
But you usually agree with me.
Will you call her?
It for whatever reason, they receive it better from you than from me.
I think that's true.
It just does not matter. And I don't know if that's a personality thing. I don't know if it's because I'm mom and you're dad.
I think it might be mom-dad dynamics.
Okay. I'd be curious, people listening, you know, okay, what have y'all experienced?
Well, if you think about your family of origin, who's, now I know who the heavy was.
Yeah.
But who was the one that when they said it?
It was dad.
You weren't arguing.
For sure. My mom was the heavy.
Yeah. So mom's the heavy.
She's the heavy, but
dad's a sweetie.
Like if you're gonna ask someone, if you're gonna be like, can we, it was always, hey dad, can we? Because mom was immediately No.
Yeah. But then if dad said, hey, listen.
Yeah, then I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So that is true.
I think it's just the dynamics, man. Male female dynamics, maybe.
I think so.
Mom dad dynamics.
Like the Lord had a plan in that.
Mm-hmm. Does that bother you a little bit?
No, not at all. I mean, I do wish they do take me seriously,
yeah, they do.
But it's just the weight.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the weight that you carry. And yeah.
All right. So another question, that one just caught my eye and I giggled because I was curious at how you would think about it. Is like how to best ways to present and keep the gospel in front of your kids.
Mm. You're the gospel man. You answer that one first.
No. Thank you.
Didn't you write a it's book about it? Like
the only one you've read. Gospel? If people have been watching the only one you've read. Yes. I think the most gospel thing I've done with our kids consistently is ask for their forgiveness.
Mm.
I've always done so with some explanation that I had sinned against them and God, and that Jesus wasn't just something for them, but something for dad.
Yeah.
And that dad still was being grown by the Lord.
Right.
And this is an area that needs to grow. And please forgive me. I've already asked God for forgiveness, but I'm going to ask you too.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure I've done anything that's gospeled them more than that. I think you could sit down my kids and ask them questions about the gospel and they could answer your questions, maybe
right.
better than most, maybe. But I think the experience of the gospel
right.
For each of our kids has been how frequently I have been harsh or not given them my full self in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And circled back around and own that as a sinner in need of grace.
Right.
I have to believe that's more powerful than all the kind of catechizing we try to do about who Jesus is right. and what the gospel is. What would you say?
I think that's true. I think for me, when there've been moments, there've been some moments that our kids have had where they've felt they've been very broken by their own sin.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to remind them that Jesus came for the broken and the sick
for
and
that
those
reason.
Who need a savior, not for those who already have it all together.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been a place where I've seen it just click in their minds. It's where I've received it most is yeah. when I've just blown it and the Holy Spirit reminds me, this is why Jesus came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another category would be this idea of dating mm-hmm. and like kind of rules around dating or how yeah. we framed up dating with our yeah. kids. And so do you want to talk a little bit about that? Do you want me to kick us off?
Kick us off.
Okay.
Color commentary.
No dating.
Right.
Until you were 16
mm-hmm.
and no dating until whoever you wanted to date came and had a conversation with me.
Right.
Those were our kind of, and I wasn't trying, I'm not like cleaning my Glock when these kids come over.
No.
I just wanted to talk to them about who my kid was, what my role was, and what I'm trusting them to be and do
mm-hmm.
in what I'm trying to do, what I see there. Like, my expectation is that you honor and protect her or him the way I am.
Yeah.
And that you would join me in that. So it's always awkward, but I was able to frame it with the girls, especially as, hey, I'm doing this for you, because if they're not serious enough about you or they don't have enough courage to come sit down with me, then they're not serious about you. Like, if that's the big hurdle, then I'm weeding out guys who aren't really, they're not serious enough about you, or they're cowards.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what you want right. long-term.
Right.
You want a guy that's confident enough in how he sees you and how he feels about you to embrace the awkward of a quick conversation with me mm-hmm. before you date.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guys that weren't serious moved on down the line, and guys who were actually interested in our daughter's souls
mm-hmm.
Actually came in and had the conversation. It's not a fail-safe. But it does test their mettle early.
Right.
And those were things, not before you're 16. And then even then, we like groups more than we like one-on-ones. And we'd be much quicker on a yes with a group going out than we would be just one-on-one going out.
Right.
And then those guys had to come talk to me if they were just going to date. But
yeah.
we didn't, by the grace of God, we didn't have a boy crazy daughter.
Yeah.
They weren't really interested in that until right. later in their teen years. So I wasn't getting pressed hard by my girls to date early on.
Right. I think one of the things we've done too is we've invited the one they're dating, once they've dated a little bit, to dinner at our house to just get to know them, to do the highs and lows together, to talk about life so then we get to know them a little bit better. And then if we see some things we're a little concerned about that we can be praying for, bring it up with our kids and just say, hey, I see this. Do you see that? Yeah.
There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen, at my desk, above my garage, or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers. Quite a few questions on discipline and spanking. Do you want to talk a little about how we navigated that, what you believe about that? Do you believe something different now than you maybe believed when Aud was born?
No. Our each kid, we did a little bit differently because of their personality types.
It's true.
Audrey, so what's funny is we went to dinner last night and we had some of these questions.
So we were
and we
to the
asked
kids.
The girls, Reed wasn't there, but the girls were there. And we were asking him some of these questions, and Audrey had said one of the most effective things was taking things away from her, like saying, okay, this is a choice you made. You lost this privilege, and we would take things away. And Reed, so we did spank our kids.
Yeah.
Like, not crazy.
No. It wasn't. Defiance usually is what got them. Not just normal,
not
like defiance.
Just childishness.
Yeah.
But like just disobedience, straight up disobeyed.
Yeah.
Didn't love doing it, but it usually worked, except like Reed.
Nope.
Man, it just make him angrier.
Bro, that was not, we had to adjust with him.
Yes. I adjusted with him by, putting him, just let it, like doing kind of a timeout where he just needed to cool down. I think he would just see red, and that wasn't helping him. And so just helping him regulate his emotions. And then Nora, she was probably the easiest to discipline because, I don't know, for the most part, she wanted to do what was right.
Yeah.
She wasn't too overtly.
Yeah, she was almost firstbornish, which is weird for the thirdborn.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was correction.
Sure.
I just think figuring out what works for your kid and sticking to it. So, when you like following through, if you
follow through is huge.
I'm not great at it. I'm not great at following through, but I do feel like that's what's the most effective is saying, hey, these are the expectations. And if you don't meet them, these are the consequences.
It's the idea. Like, I want to bless you.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And here's what our family values. Here's what gets blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But this won't get blessed. And so here's what that looks like. It's my phone. It's not your phone. It's my car. It's not your car. Now, one day they'll be yours, but right now they're mine. And so you can lose those things for
this.
I think
the hardest thing about that is the inconvenience it makes for us.
Now that's real parenting talk right there.
So
you're like, oh man, we got to drive him to school.
You have to follow through.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means it costs us. Yeah.
Okay. Another batch. Maybe this will be I've got one here I want to answer directly, but another batch of family devotionals and how to like develop rhythms of discipleship in your family. And by the questions, almost all of them are laden with a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
And,
gosh, I feel you.
Yeah.
And we're a pastor's family.
Yeah. No, for sure.
We're supposed to be professionals at family devotions.
I did write a book with Adam Griffin, but it's fun.
And it was great.
Thank you.
But
you,
I mean,
you didn't read it?
Did I read that one?
No, but
no,
you know,
I didn't.
At Time, Moments, and Milestones.
Sure it's great. Yeah.
I'm sure
it's
great.
Okay, so then you answer this. You're the profesh.
Well, I think what I'd rather answer, I mean, I'll try to answer what we attempted. We were wildly inconsistent. They were taking away more than we ever dreamed that they actually were.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember sometimes the win of the family devotional is no one got spanked and sent to bed early.
No one was crying.
And so, we could have some tears and that would still be the win. I mean, it was chaos. And, you know, you're kind of prepped and you've got this idea in your head that the Holy Spirit's going to fall and maybe one of the toddlers is going to get saved that night. And then it's just chaos.
It's
and
wild.
All three of ours have energy.
Yeah.
Like we didn't get a, I just want to sit here and listen, kid.
Nope.
And I think that's on me. Maybe not.
It is on you.
Okay. So maybe it is on me. And what we tried to do on repeat, we created some rites of passage that were significant specifically at 13.
Yeah.
And then we took advantage of any opportunity we had in the car and in situations in their life to bring the gospel to bear.
Mm.
So you might find us in a season where we were doing really well in family devotionals, you know, once a week or twice a week.
We did that.
Yeah,
it was awesome. You
would find us in a season where we were doing that really well.
Yep.
But even when we were doing that well, it felt to me like the stuff that's made the difference in their lives was more bringing the gospel to bear on real life.
Yep.
Not just catechizing them.
Yeah,
I think that's important.
Absolutely.
But I think where it stuck was heartbreak, disappointment, failure, and you speak the gospel over it.
Yeah.
You remind them of the goodness of God in this. And I think we did that really well.
Right.
Even if I were to look at our inconsistency in family devotionals and go, I'd give us probably a D.
Mm-hmm.
Probably give us a D at that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a C. But to me, that's the stuff I think if you talk to our kids, they bring up how, we're still doing it.
Yeah.
That when their heart gets broken, when they get confused, when they're struggling with this or that, that, our lead foot's the gospel. They know it. We know it. Everybody knows where we're going with this disappointment, what the Lord's up to,
right,
what the Lord might be doing, how the Lord might use this. And I think that's been, I would encourage you to as best you can in the seasons of life with a lot of grace for yourself and your kids to do weekly devotionals together, or maybe a couple times, maybe one night a week, maybe two nights a week, however it works for where you are. But just go in knowing
it's going to be chaos.
They're taking more from this than I think they
are.
Absolutely. But I think the more important thing, even if you go back to the Shema, like talk about them when you wake up,
you
lay down. When you're on the path, write them on the door frames of your house. Speak of them, you know, when you rise, when you're down, when you. And so I think we've done that better than we did kind of a programmatic approach to disciple making. Mm-hmm. Even though I would say I think catechizing your kids is a smart, good endeavor.
It's a good foundation.
It's a good endeavor.
To go back to.
Absolutely.
While you have those as you go conversations.
Yeah.
And we did. We had the seasons where we were definitely more consistent at that, and they were sweet and they were crazy. And I think they do not have to be complicated. They can be simple and get them in when you can. And like you said, they are actually catching a lot more than you think they are.
Yeah. I want to add something to the dating conversation earlier because my eyes hit this question.
Okay. Yeah.
What I've tried to do, especially with my daughters, is have them create a list of the kind of man they want to end up with.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about him. So Audrey's got her list of values and what she needs and wants in a man.
Yep.
And then so does my youngest, Nora.
Yep.
And then what I want to do now, if they have some boy in orbit, is just to go, okay, is he this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Is he trending towards being this guy? Mm-hmm. Well, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
Then what are we doing?
Yeah.
So that would be another thing that this question was more of, I've got a daughter. How do I help her?
Oh,
and I think the best way to help her is have her articulate
what kind of
man do I want?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully she's going to describe you, Dad.
Yeah.
That loves her wife.
Right.
Is playful and fun with her.
Yeah.
Is kind, is, and
I think that's one of the best things that you can do for your kids is
love their mama. Love their daddy.
Like, have a good marriage.
Yeah.
Not a perfect marriage.
No, there's no such thing.
Like, be honest.
Like you started a fight with me in front of him last night.
Gosh. Should ask Nora's perspective on that. Just saying.
She's Team Lauren, though. That's not. Nora's totally Team Lauren.
No, she's not.
She's probably more objective. I don't want to ask her. I know what really happened.
Anyway, but just being real and, because I mean, our kids have seen us fight. I mean, we're not, it's like arguing. I don't know. But always coming back.
Yeah.
Always being goofy together. You know, hugging in front of him and
just if you can gross him out, bro. I'm about that life.
And just having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they have, you know, on that theme, I have often gone, not often, far less than I've sinned against them. There are times that in an argument I was not godly with you and have had to circle back around with them and go, hey, that was not okay. That was not okay. Will you forgive Dad that I should not have talked to Mom that way. That was me. It wasn't her. It's my own stuff, not her stuff. So will you forgive me for that? I hate that you saw that. I hate that that's in me. Yeah. And that yet another opportunity for you to reveal the gospel to. Yeah. There's a question here that there's several in this vein. And so I wanted us to end by talking about this one.
Great.
I'm going to read this specific question. Just know there's probably five or six others in the list that are something like this. Daughter says she believes, then fights thoughts of God being really real. She has a lot of tears over it. I praise God for the tenderness of that daughter.
Yeah.
What I would speak to in, maybe it was a kind of an overarching that doubts are real for everyone along the way.
Yeah.
And I would want her to feel safe in her doubts, bringing those to me as Dad or Mom. And I would want her to feel safe bringing those before the Lord.
Yeah.
If she's tearful because of her doubts, I'm curious of how much of that is shame, because that feels like a spot that the enemy would love to get in and twist to create distance between her and the Lord. And so I would just try to highlight where this has happened to like heroes of the faith in the Bible. David, how long, O Lord, will you forsake me? Will you forsake me forever? The accusation to God is that you've abandoned me.
Right.
That's doubt. And where did David take it? To the Lord.
Right.
Right. Or Jeremiah, you deceived me and I was deceived.
Yeah.
That's doubt.
Yep.
And where did he take it? He took it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think by highlighting and letting your daughter be human, and there are going to be seasons where you're like, are you still with me? Is your grace sufficient? Arm her or him, little boy, with scriptures that tell them the truth, and then to have them, maybe even lead them in a prayer of confession to the Lord. Confession not being I've sinned against you, confession being this is in my heart and I don't like it. I want to believe, help my unbelief.
Right.
I think that's just a, keep in mind that our kids are human beings.
Yeah.
And if you see something in them that's not like normal humanity, then maybe give that a little bit more attention, a little bit more prayer, a little bit more of your maybe good anxiety for their souls. But I'm reading some of these and I'm like, yeah, that's human. That's what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And so the best thing I can do for them is to show them, that weak as we are in the flesh, let's bring this weakness into the presence of Jesus together. I'd love to just pray with you and show you how I do that when this happens to me.
Yeah.
And so the more you can help them see the gap between their own humanity and Christ's divinity, the better it's going to be long term. And God's grace over our weakness.
Yeah.
So
I think that's really good. And I think, I'll go back to it, praying for them. As much as you are sharing those things with them, also even more so praying that the Holy Spirit would minister to them, that he would show them what he's actually like, that he would bring other people in their life to encourage them. And because you just never know who they might come across who God has just planted, because because sometimes there are just other people that can say it. We can say we're blue in the face.
Yeah.
But other people come, the same words come out of their mouth to them. They're like, like, I've been saying that this whole time.
That reminds me of, maybe we'll just end with this.
Yeah.
The, I had a kid and she was doing, some counseling, and, the guy and his wife that were kind of walking with her said to her, you know, here's like a, like, if you really want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, it's good to ask yourself the question, like, what stirs your affection for Jesus? And then what robs you of that affection? Mm-hmm. Now, probably what is robbing you of affection is morally neutral. It's not necessarily these heinous, sinful things. It could be all sorts of things. And he gave examples. Well, she came home. She was like, Dad, have you ever heard this? This is incredible. I mean, this guy's been a member of our church for 17, 18 years. And I'm like, I just said, that's amazing. But in my head, I was like, he's quoting me, Dum Dum. You've heard me say that 6,000 times since you were born.
I know.
But that's such a great illustration for what you're talking about, where it just took somebody that wasn't me to say it.
I know.
They're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, I just said that a couple weeks to you ago, but that's fine.
And it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, there are people that, like, if someone might be praying, oh, Lord, let Matt Chandler say this to my kid. And their kid hear it and they're like, oh, what?
Yeah.
But even Matt Chandler's kids need to hear it from somebody else.
They need a preacher that's
and
not
so,
me.
Yeah. And so we need to pray for your kids to have, for people like that in their lives 100%. To say the things you've been saying 6,000 times.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Love you, babe.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging with us, guys.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.